Good evening, everybody. Hope you are all doing well. You know it's serious when the speaker decides to sit down. It was a what? Oh, my first real Australian spider. It's right there. Do I flick it off? Do I just let it chill? Flick it in the front row? Oh, well. Here. You got him? There it is. Hey. Oh, so we're going to begin with prayer, and then I have a test for you. So let's pray really quick. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the beautiful worship we've experienced. Thank you for your spirit, your presence, your peace. Guard our hearts and minds from every distraction, every spider that would run across our lap and distract us from your word. We thank you so much for your presence. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to do a test tonight. Tonight's message is called Triangles. Put that on the screen. Yeah, awesome. And the test should be simple. If it's not simple, if this is not an easy test for you, then we will cancel this meeting and go to the junior tent. So that's how easy it should be. I'm going to throw a shape on the screen. Appreciate the sound guys, the audiovisual guys helping me out tonight. When I put a shape on the screen, when I cue them, your job is to shout out that shape if you know it. Right? This should be easy. We are expecting you to shout it out. There's always those people who don't want to participate. And if you don't participate, we will just assume that you do not know that shape. And we will judge you as much as we can. So, are you ready? It's not a good start. Are you ready? All right. First one, let's go. Good. Next one. Great. How about the next one? Rectangle. Excellent. Next one. All right. A little trickier. Next one. Good. Now stop here. Now, shh, quiet. This next one is the last one, and it's the most important, so I want you to really dig deep now. Go. Next one. Everybody, just go ahead. I'm so excited that you got this. I'm so excited. Now I can go. I mean, I was a little worried about it, but like I was telling people back home, just because they drive on the opposite side of the road, the wrong side of the road, does not mean that they can't identify shapes and do simple tasks. So you did very, very well. Good on you. You got the shapes. Right. So triangles. Triangles are the shape that sociologists and family systems theorists and communication scholars tell us are the foundational building blocks of society, of social life. And it's also the shape that gets us in the most trouble. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, get your devices out, whatever you use. If you have the physical Bible, if you have a device, or if you don't, just make a friend and look over their shoulder, whatever you got to do. We have a triangle in this particular passage, and we're going to read the passage. I'm going to see if you can spot the triangle. If you're reading along or just listening, here we go. Now, as they went on their way, he, Jesus, entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to stop and help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Did you catch the triangle, the social triangle? Let me explain a little bit more. Most of us think of basic human relationships in dyads, groups of two, right? Parent and child, boyfriend, girlfriend, BFFs, you know, in twos. But what happens is when one of those dyads gets under stress, when you have an argument, a fight, or some other thing that causes you stress, what happens usually is we will seek a third person to bring into our drama. We will go and take some of our stress and try to release some of the stress in the relationship by going to another person and forming a triangle. I'm going to read the story again, see if you catch it. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Did you catch the triangle? Let's throw it on the screen. That's the triangle. Basically, Mary and Martha, these sisters, are under stress. Martha has some strain in her relationship with Mary. She's doing all the work, and she's frustrated. As a matter of fact, she is so frustrated. I can illustrate how frustrated she is. She is so frustrated. Think about how Jesus, when he brought Lazarus back from the dead, he only had to say his name once. To calm Martha down, he had to say her name twice. That's pretty upset. Martha is frustrated because she's in the kitchen, and Mary is just out there sitting at the feet of Jesus in public as a woman, and she's got stuck with all the work. And it's her stress with her sister that leads Martha to seek out a third party. Jesus tries to calm her down, and it's funny, if you read this in the Message Bible in verse 40, basically says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has abandoned me to the kitchen? To add more nuance to the exchange, this is not so much about peeling potatoes as it is about societal roles. A woman did not go sit at the feet of a rabbi like a disciple would. So it's not just that she's stuck in the kitchen making all the food. She's saying, my sister has committed this impropriety. She's gone and sat there. It's inappropriate. She's going to bring shame and a shame on our culture, shame all over our house. Jesus, how can you let her be there? How can you just let her sit there? Remind her where her place should be. It's with me in the kitchen. Now, I'm sure some of you can relate to the frustration that Martha had and empathize with her. When you turn and think about your stressful relationships, you might be in a stressful relationship now. You might be sitting next to the person you're in a stressful relationship with. I see people looking. This is not the time to you know what he's talking about. You know, talk about this after the meeting. Yeah, none of that. You know, stay focused. Someone does something that we see as harmful or hurtful or annoying or unhelpful. And like a good Christian, we get concerned. Anyone ever approach you and say, I have a concern. I just have a concern I need to share with you. About what people might think if we allow someone to continue to do something that violates our personal sense of style, our worship, our taste, or what we feel is appropriate. And because conflict is uncomfortable, or because maybe we feel like we don't have the power and the agency to make change, or we feel like nobody's going to listen to us, instead of going to that person, we will seek out a third party to share that relational stress with. We will try to find someone in authority, maybe it's a pastor, an administrator, a principal, a parent, somebody else to share our drama. We will try to find somebody else to share what's going on. And people are real bold and sneaky about this too. I cannot tell you how many times I've been sitting or standing in the church lobby and someone will slide up to me. Pastor, we have a problem. Excuse me. Is that the royal we? Don't bring me into your shenanigans. This is your problem, right? You don't bring me into your drama. And here's the thing. It creates a false sense of intimacy. When you think about that third party that you go and communicate with, instead of communicating with the person you're supposed to be talking to, when you go bring that third party in, the only basis for that relationship is your drama in another relationship. That's the only connection you have. And it can be a strong bond. It's an artificial intimacy, but it's so common. We even have memes about it. Check this out. I love this one. No bond is stronger than two coworkers who hate the same person. That's a strong bond. With triangles, there's a risk of what we call triangulation, which leads to strangulation in a relationship. So triangles lead to triangulation, which leads to strangulation in a relationship, because the communication that the other person needs in that diet is not getting through. It's being shared by some other third party. To know whether or not you are in a toxic triangle, I've got some items here on the screen. There's five elements to know whether you are in a toxic triangle. First one, you're not open to speaking to the other person directly. You're going to go find somebody else. You're not interested in healing the strained relationship. You expect others to take all or most of the responsibility to fix the situation for you. Or you just want to vent or disparage the other person with no real plan for reconciliation or restoration. You're not very circumspect. You don't really reflect in your actions. You're just saying, look, this is a stressful relationship. It feels gross. I'm frustrated. I'm going to now put all these feelings on you and share them with you, as opposed to actually dealing with the issue. For Martha, she doesn't appear to want to talk to her sister at all. She goes right to Jesus. She's gone after Jesus to lay down some authority, not to help her have a healing conversation. Notice she doesn't say, Jesus, come over here and help me mediate this conflict with my sister. She says, Jesus, tell her to get back in the kitchen with your authority. You tell her to get back there. You tell her to come back with me. There's not really any, you know, I feel concerned. There's not like any circumspect in her relationship. She expects Jesus to take care of the responsibility. No talk about reconciling. And she doesn't offer any reflections on her own motives. Mary is being lazy and socially unacceptable, according to Martha's mindset. People think, you know, people are thinking of me badly, and it's all her fault. You tell her to teach her a lesson, Jesus. She's triangulating with Jesus and Mary. And sometimes out of fear or embarrassment, we do the same thing. We're frustrated, we're stressed, we don't like conflict, so we'll go somewhere else. And this story, as I thought about it, it's frightening. Martha is willing to take someone away from the feet of Jesus rather than ask her sister's perspective and maybe get an invite to sit at the feet of Jesus herself. Oftentimes we look at somebody who's doing something different than us, different preference, different worship, different style, and it frustrates us, we don't understand it, and as opposed to talking to them and finding out, maybe perhaps we could get a blessing, we'll judge them and do everything we can to sabotage their experience. So how does Jesus respond in this situation? How do we respond when that one person comes up to you and they want to spill the tea, right? Australians like tea, right? You know, like literal and metaphorical, right? You spill the tea, what's going on? You know, what do you do when someone shows up and they are trying to triangulate with you? They're trying to make this triangle shape and you know what's happening. What do you do? My dad was a pastor for several years, and he had sort of an aggressive technique when this happened. He would have someone show up, Pastor, we have a problem with somebody. We have somebody who's got an issue. We've got this conflict. And so he would go to my dad's office, and he would begin to just unload complaining about a person, just all kinds of gossip and criticism and everything else. And my dad would take out a piece of paper and start taking detailed notes. Detailed notes, looking interested, right? Yeah, tell me more. Mm-hmm. You know, taking notes. And at the end of this person's diatribe, he would take that piece of paper, turn it around, and slide it across the desk and say, sign that for me, please. He said that never in his years of pastoring did anybody sign that piece of paper. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. Pastor, you need it. He goes, if you are not willing to sign this, why should I take the responsibility to go say something you're not willing to stand behind? Now, it's a little aggressive. I admit that. I've never used that as a pastor. It's nice to know it's there as an option if I get mad, you know, someday. So just tuck that away. And many of you might be able to use that. So enjoy. It's a gift. We read Jesus' response. Jesus does a couple things that we can do. First thing, he answers her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. The first thing you can do when someone tries to triangulate with you, breaking up good interpersonal communication with that other person, the first thing you can do is you can listen and validate their feelings. I hear you. I hear that you're frustrated. I hear that you're angry. I hear that you're hurt. Jesus says, Martha, you're worried. You're anxious about many things. I hear you. Valid. And then he does something else. He models something, he models something that's very difficult for us if we are highly empathetic people. He doesn't take her anxious energy. No, you are worried about many things. He doesn't allow himself to pick up her baggage. You know, you gotta think of it as an airport, right? What does the warning they tell you? Has anybody handed you some baggage that doesn't belong to you? We do that interpersonal communication-wise. There are people with all kinds of baggage here trying to have you carry it for them. Hey, do you need some more baggage? No, I have some. You know, I've already got my bag. I don't need any more of your baggage. And then Jesus does something else in the situation that almost seems like he's taking sides, which is absolutely not what we should be doing. By the way, never, never take sides, not usually. Jesus basically tells her, your sister has chosen the right portion. I'm not gonna take that away from her. People see in the Hebrew, there's a play on words, where like you have a portion of food and an eternal portion. She's saying, Jesus is saying she's picked the right one. It's okay. Now, if you happen to be a specialist in a particular area or you know somebody really, really, really well, and it's a very, very, very clear black and white case, you might be able to say something. But as a general rule, do not take sides when someone tries to triangulate with you. It's dangerous. So what do? Thankfully, we have the words of Jesus in four Gospels, not just this one. And here's some advice that we get from the Gospels. Throw these on the screen. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. It doesn't matter how expensive your gift is, how big your gift is, whatever you're giving, whether it's the sermon, whether it's your worship, whether it's a $1 million check to the connection tent. Feel free if you have that and the Spirit is leading. Do that. It doesn't matter what it is. If you know that there is a rift in your relationship, go heal that first. Go restore that first. Go have that conversation first. That's more important, to be reconciled, to have restoration. Next verse, throw this on the screen. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you've regained that one. The idea is if somebody has done something wrong, our impulse is not to go tell somebody else about it. Now, again, I'm not talking about cases of abuse where we need, like, you know, that's a different situation. I'm talking about interpersonal conflicts, the interpersonal relationship stress that we all have in every relationship. It's so easy in moments of stress and disagreement, argument, to go bring somebody else in, and then nothing ever really changes. Things just get more and more stressful. You got to go to that person. So one thing that tends to come up about now is there's such a thing as a healthy triangle. I mean, after all, doesn't the book of Romans tell us to bear one another's burdens, right? You've heard that before. Is there such a thing as a healthy triangle? So I'm gonna give you a couple instances where triangles are okay. The first triangle that you can make, when you are having relationship stress in your marriage, at school, with your friends, your pastor, you can go and ask someone to pray for you. In other words, you're not doing like the prayer gossip thing, right? You can pray for me because this person's an idiot. You know, that's not the right spirit, right? What I'm suggesting to you is saying, I have to have a difficult conversation with someone in my life, and I could use some prayer. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for us? Here's the situation without spilling too much personal details. Can you pray for me? That's a healthy triangle, because you're not potting off responsibility on somebody else. You're taking ownership. The second triangle that's okay is when you go to a trusted friend or leader and you say, I have to have a difficult conversation. We've had this breakdown in communication. There's stress in the relationship. I need a sounding board. I need to make sure that what I say makes sense and that it's gracious and accurate. Could you kind of give me a listening ear? Again, I'm not telling you to go do it. You can if you want. No, don't do that. But I need a listening ear. Give me some feedback and then I will take responsibility. Those are the areas where we can have healthy triangles. Sometimes you can bring somebody in too. If you need to mediate, you just need someone to make sure that the conversation is going. But by and large, what we have to be careful about, because they happen so fast and so organically, and without us even being aware, triangles will happen. That is the impulse. We get relational stress. Where's that third person? Bring them in. And all that interpersonal communication that should be going to our friend and our spouse and the parent, our child, whoever, goes to this other person. We have to watch against that. So the question I want to leave you with, and I want you to wrestle with tonight, is how many of our relationships this evening are based on drama in another relationship? When you think of your friendships, the people you talk to, the people you've met, like, how many of your relationships are based on good, healthy, interpersonal connection? And how many are like, I form these friendships because I just like to talk trash about Susan, right? Sorry if your name is Susan, that's not personal. That's not personal at all. Just had to pick a name. It's a good name, you're a good person. Jesus loves you, it's fine. Here's another question to contemplate. Put this on the screen. How long can any two people talk together without focusing on a third person? In media studies, in film studies, we have something called the Bechdel test. Anyone ever heard of the Bechdel test before? So that's where we see if in the entire film, two females can talk to each other without talking about a man. Many films do not pass the Bechdel test. And so the question I want to leave with you is a triangle test, kind of a variation on the Bechdel test. Whether we can hold a conversation without talking about criticizing or complaining about somebody else. Can you do it? Can you have a conversation, or does it inevitably turn to that other person that you just want to talk trash about? It's difficult. Here's another thing to consider when it comes to our relationship with God and prayer. And again, we can take everything to Jesus in prayer. I'm not trying to be the prayer police, but think about when you talk to God, how much of your relationship with God is based on your relationship drama with other people? Do you just go to God to complain about others? Or do you actually have a conversation about many different things? In A Failure of Nerve, the author Edwin Friedman makes this statement that it's important to keep in mind. One can only change a relationship of which one is directly a part. So when we go around trying to loop other people in, or someone tries to loop you, and you have to keep in mind that it's not ultimately going to help your relationship by trying to bring in that third party that's not doing anything, you've stalled out. What you need to do is talk with that person. Again, sometimes you have a mediator, but really that communication is directed to that one person. Good communication and good relationships have good boundaries, and what we can't contract the hard communication work that we're all called to do with someone else. Triangles are bound to come. It's a part of human experience. And triangulation may catch us off guard. There's so many times as a pastor, I found myself in a triangle thinking, got me, and now I've got to get out of it. Triangles are bound to come, and triangulation may catch us off guard now and then. But, I want to put this on the screen for you. Even though triangles are inevitable, they're bound to happen, our life can still be the shape of the heart of God if we commit to good communication and do the work of reconciliation and restoration. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for giving us relationships, and help us to recognize in those moments of stress, whatever they are, help us to recognize that going to a third person, looping them in with our drama, is ultimately not going to bring healing and restoration. That triangles end up being just gossip chains. And if we're here tonight and we have relationship stress and we have been talking to everybody except the person we should be talking to, Spirit, give us strength and peace and courage to have those difficult conversations, and may you work through those conversations to bring us reconciliation or restoration. Help us to avoid the triangles, and may our life be the shape of your heart. In your name we pray. Amen.